As always, John Gambadoro, I'm Dave Burns, and we're joined now, and we are appreciative of the president of the Suns, Jason Rowley, for coming down and joining us today. Thank you for making the drive. I know today was probably a not-so-crazy busy day for you, but to spend a few minutes with us to kind of clarify what's going on with the state of the Suns in the arena, we appreciate it, Jason,
sure. And I appreciate the opportunity, guys. First of all, I want to thank you for the great work you're doing out here today for the 100 Club. I mean, obviously, we can talk about business and talk about arenas and talk about sports teams, but when it really boils down to it, these are the kind of things that really matter. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we're grateful and very blessed to be able to help out and give back to our community. But the Suns are very good with the community, and I know how much you guys how much it means to you to give back. Let's talk about what's going on right now. The Suns have been in this building for 26 years. So you've passed a threshold for me. I would be on board with the Suns, and this is me, and I'm being honest. I would be on board with the Suns getting a new arena for the simple reason you have the worst building in the NBA right now, the worst practice facility in the NBA right now, and I know this from talking to a lot of players who play here and have played elsewhere, that the practice facility is not good and the arena is not good, but it's one of the oldest. It's 26 years. Milwaukee just got a new building. Sacramento just, so I would be on board with getting a new arena, but that's not really what you're looking for. You're just looking for renovations to kind of keep the upkeep with the building, correct?
That's exactly right. So this has been, and I think it's important to step back and really look at the relationship with the city of Phoenix over that entire 27-year period. We have had a terrific private-public partnership with that city and with the community. And so it's something we're very proud of, and it's something that we're committed to continuing. The way we look at it is this is a way of taking a building that has severe limitations right now, putting in a prudent amount of money from both the private side and the public side to make it feasible going forward for a reasonable period of time going forward.
And we're not talking about like these extravagant, we're talking about infrastructure. We're talking about plumbing and electrical and maintenance that needs to be done more than anything else. That's the most important things coming out of this, correct?
That's correct. And what's important to recognize is that this is a city-owned building.
So you don't own the building. The Suns do not own it.
We own the building. We operate the building
The city owns it.
For the city, and we cover all operating costs. Over the last 26 years, we have put in $150 million of our own dollars into the construction and ongoing, not only ongoing maintenance, but capital improvements over the years. The city's put in about $80 million. This deal is a flip of that, where the city is looking to put in $150 million in infrastructure, which is essentially, like you said, the plumbing, the electrical, the technology, the security upgrades, the circulation so that people can get up and down the escalators.
Widening the concourses,
all of those things to make the building more functionally usable in today's world and into the future. Because the reality is, the way our deal works right now is in 2019, we can go to an arbitration to determine if the building's obsolete. And that's been in the deal since for 26 years. It's all we are doing is continuing to follow through with what our deal says. We're not obligated to put a dollar in, but Robert is willing to put money into it because he thinks it's the right thing to do.
So if in 2019 you can go and find out if the building's obsolete, what would happen then? If they determine the building's obsolete in 2019, where do you go from there?
At that point, we have no obligation to put any dollars into the building. The city would have to step up and basically fund all of the improvements and make that decision if they want to or not. And if they don't, then we have the ability to get out of the lease in 2022.
And go anywhere you want. Even if it's here in Arizona, you can go somewhere else.
But what I would like to reiterate is that, and this is, I know this has been out there, which is patently untrue today, is that we are 100% committed to getting a deal done to stay in downtown Phoenix. That is Robert's number. That is his priority A, priority B, priority C. He said that numerous times. We have never one time out in the community said that we are threatening to leave this state. We haven't had any conversations with other cities. Look, we can't control the market, and the reality is out in the sports market, there are other cities that would love to have an NBA team. Seattle is putting $700 million into a building there. Las Vegas would love to have a team there as well. Kansas City has a building that they would love to put an NBA team in. We are not talking to any other city. We are focusing on our deal with the city of Phoenix to stay here until 2037.
So just so we're clear and on the record here, the reports that were out earlier of a quote-unquote threat to relocate the team
there
to Las Vegas.
There has been no threat.
No threat was issued. No conversation was laid out in terms of do this or else from the Phoenix Suns.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
Where did that come from? Any idea?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Were you anticipating there was going to be difficulty with today's vote? Did you have a sense that the votes were going to be tough to come by, knowing that four votes from the city council could kill it? And you, how did today go sure. in that regard for you, Jason?
So we've been talking with the city for, and it's no secret, we've been talking to the city about this for about 3 years. And again, what I want to reiterate is that this has not been, it's been characterized as an adversarial or relationship or a dispute or a conflict. The reality is we've been working hand in hand with the city of Phoenix to come up with a resolution for the building that can work for everybody long term. So it has not been a conflict or a dispute. In that context of those 3 years of discussions, we have finally gotten to the point where, just by looking at the time frame, July 1 of 2019 is the date when the obsolescence begins. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's been out there for 26 years. If we're going to do construction, we basically need to do construction over the summer months, right? So if you don't get a deal done,
you're waiting until 2020.
Correct. And at that point, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball in terms of construction timelines, in terms of the amount of shows you're able to put in during the summer. All of those things get extended out. So we needed to get this done in a shorter period of time to try and move it forward.
Perception is there's a new mayor, Gallego, coming in April,
that
and that mayor's got clout,
yeah.
and that mayor's gonna persuade people not to vote for this. Is that all garbage? Is there any truth to that?
Perception, I can see where people see that, but the reality is, again, this is the normal course of what our deal has been for 26 years.
So this vote was this vote that was going to come up today was not a surprise.
It was not a surprise at all. It's not a surprise at all. What we have done is we have followed the city's process. This is their process. So we, the Suns, have followed along with their process and let them lead that process through to today. So going forward now, if it's been continued to the July 23rd date, we're more than happy to get out to the community, have more conversations about it, educate everybody about what exactly it means. But the reality is we feel like we have a deal that is fair, and we have a deal that will keep the team here for the long term.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think it's beyond fair, to be honest with you. And if I didn't like it, I would tell you, because there are deals I haven't liked, and I'll say, yeah, I don't like it. This seems like an unbelievably fair deal. I will say, Robert Sarver was not the first owner of the Phoenix Suns. He's not going to be the last owner of the Phoenix Suns, okay? I look at this from a Suns perspective, what the Suns have meant to Phoenix, what the Suns have meant to the community, what the Suns have meant, and making sure. And again, you're not asking for a new arena. You're just asking for upgrades on plumbing and electrical and stuff that you need to keep the building running the way it does. Does the perception or the unpopularity of your owner right now, is that hurting any of these negotiations at all?
I think that Robert has been unfairly characterized in this entire process, and I was happy to hear the city council today step up in his behalf. I've worked with Robert now for 12 years and have seen a man who has a high level of ethics, a person who you could reach across. He would sit here at this table, if there's a city council here, and shake a hand and say, we have a deal done, and he would mean it, and he'd look at you and he'd do that. And I think that gets lost, because we can all agree the team is not where we'd like it to be. We all know that we haven't been at the competitive level that this town expects, and it is our commitment to get back to that level. But to demonize Robert through this process as if he's some greedy owner, when the reality is he doesn't have to put, and this organization does not have to put a single dime into this building to move it forward. He is willing to do that. He's willing to put money into a building that he doesn't own. And what I would say is, show me a landlord-tenant situation where over the term of the entire deal, the tenant pays 50% of the entire cost of the building, because that's exactly what's happening here if this deal goes forward. Up to this point, we paid more than that.
Suns President Jason Rowley, our guest, you're kind enough to come down to GCU to join us on our Holiday Heroes broadcast. So, and I had read on social media that the city council members of the city of Phoenix were lauding Robert for his work. So I want to make sure I get that. I have heard that as well. I read that this morning as well, or this afternoon. What now next? What? So now I understand there's going to be five public hearings between
right.
now and the next scheduled vote.
Right.
And these public hearings are going to be basically an opportunity for the public to debate the use of the taxpayer funds for this, even though, technically speaking, it's not going to a public vote. This is a city council vote. They just want input from the public on what they feel should be done. How do you anticipate those meetings going from here until January 23rd?
And that's absolutely correct. And I'm glad you talked about the funding mechanism, because I think it's important for for the voting public and for the taxpaying public to understand how this structure works very quickly.
Rental cars.
That's exactly right. This was a fund that was set up. The sports facilities fund was set up for the exact purpose of building Talking Stick Resort Arena 27 years ago. That's the same fund that would be utilized to make these improvements. So we are, when I say that we are utilizing the exact same structure that was agreed upon by the city and the Suns organization 27 years ago, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Which doesn't affect the people of Phoenix by very much. It's basically a tourist tax.
It's tourist tax. That's exactly right. Now, there is no question. Look, dollars can you can make your own argument and philosophically decide whether or not you think public dollars at all should go into a sports and entertainment building. What I would say is, if I wasn't working here at all and didn't have my own, you know, my own connection to the organization, you look at what that building, set aside the Suns, let's talk about the arena itself and what that building has meant to the development of downtown and the economic driver that it has been. You can't argue with it.
$182 million a year, is that the number?
A year. And third-party independent economists that have come to us have looked at this deal and told us that the return going forward for the city would be at least 2.5 times in terms of their return on the investment made. So,
jobs.
If you want to be it's jobs, but it's also this. If you want to be a world-class city and you want to compete on a level with the other cities we've talked about, or a Dallas or an Atlanta or any of these other major cities, if you want to compete on that level and be a world-class city, you have to have world-class amenities. That's why we have had public dollars go into convention centers and libraries and parks. To me, setting the Suns aside, an arena is no different. All right? There's 140-plus ticketed events in that building every year, so it's not all Suns games.
No.
There's concerts that attract a wide variety of different interests and tastes. So we do those things and operate it on behalf of the city of Phoenix to provide that quality of life element for the people of this community. And we're thankful for it. We've had 40 million people walk through through those doors over the last 26 years, and we're thankful for that, but we want to continue to provide that benefit to the entire community.
Yeah, we just had our holiday party in downtown Phoenix last week, and a giant hotel is there. That's part of downtown Phoenix and the economic growth spurned by what's gone on there, and there's construction by a big high-rise right across the street from Talking Stick Resort Arena. So it's obvious the juice that building has brought to downtown Phoenix. Here's the question I have, and Gambo and I have been talking about this. Jason Rowley, president of the Suns, our guest here. Is there a willingness by the organization to negotiate and change the terms of the deal with the city of Phoenix to make it a more agreeable set of terms, if that's what it comes to in these conversations?
So that's a fair question, but the reality is, Bernsey, we have negotiated up to this point to what we believe is a extraordinarily fair and generous deal to begin with. So that's why we felt comfortable going to a vote now, that we felt where we were at, and it goes back to the point of Robert himself. When he says he will do something, you can bet your bottom dollar that he will do it. And so the fact that he has negotiated in good faith and we have negotiated in good faith in partnership, it has not been a hostile negotiation. It has been a discussion and an attempt to reach a goal together.
Mm-hmm.
The city at the staff level and certain council people, we don't know if we have them all yet, but at least certain ones are comfortable with the transaction as it is. And I would expect that that's where it stays.
Why did you not go for a new arena? The arena is 26 years old.
It is 26 years old. I think the fact of the matter is it's the most financially prudent thing to do. That the building has enough, as we looked at it, because we've obviously done the analysis. We certainly looked at a new building. We certainly looked at a larger scale renovation. And the reality is, for what downtown Phoenix needs, for what the Suns need, for what we can do by building a separate practice facility elsewhere.
Which you're paying for completely, 100%.
100%, right? 100%, which means we're taking space out of the building that's currently used for basketball spaces and then paying for that space to be built elsewhere out of our own pocket, which is fine. And we're more than happy to do that. But that takes you to a position where that building is now more usable.
So the Suns have no ownership in that arena.
Correct.
But no ownership in the arena, and they're willing to put in $80 million as part of the renovation to keep it going for a while. Would it be different if you own the arena? I mean, if you own the arena, would you be looking for any taxpayer assistance?
I can't speculate on that because we're in the situation we're in. You can look across the sports landscape and public-private partnerships in the sports space for whether it be a football stadium, baseball, or basketball, or hockey. They're everywhere, and they run the gamut of different structures. We're very comfortable that the structure that we've arrived at with the city staff is one that is fair, that is financially prudent, and it puts the city in a great position to get a great return on their investment, which they already have over the last 26 years.
And, oh, yeah, the city of Phoenix can't lose the Suns.
And continue to do it.
Yeah, the city cannot lose the Suns on any circumstance. That would be a huge mistake.
Jason, we really appreciate it.
We really appreciate you coming down and giving
us the opportunity to ask you some questions because we've obviously been talking about this pretty much all day long. I'm sure you know you've been hearing a lot of the conversation, not on our station necessarily, but in Phoenix about what happened today. We appreciate you coming down to provide some answers, to answer some of our questions about it, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Guys, look, we know that we know how important the Suns are to this community. We know that people are passionate about the organization, they're passionate about the future, and they're also passionate about how taxpayer dollars are spent. We completely understand that and are very respectful of that and have tried to keep those things in mind as we've gone through this process.
Yeah. Jason, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.